And are y'all feeling like the journey's getting sweeter every day? I sure do. It's great serving God, isn't it? Well, how'd you like my friend? Wasn't she great? She's that way all the time, too. You know, I've told her many times about her hair. I said, if I tried to make my hair look like that, it'd look like I just got out of bed. You know, she does her hair and it looks perfect, like it's planned. But anyway, I'm going to put this down because I only hold a microphone. And I'm sorry for all of you that have never heard me speak before, because you're going to be so disappointed if you've heard good things. I've been traveling, speaking to ladies since 1990, and I'm 57, so that's a long time to be doing this. This year is my 40th spiritual birthday. See my big ring? I got saved in 1975. Anybody else got saved in 1975? The 70s was a big movement of people getting saved. And so my ring, my ruby ring, it's a ruby-like ring. Do you know what I mean by ruby-like? It's not a real ruby. That'd be too big to get a real ruby. I wouldn't be afraid to wear a real ruby like that. Somebody'd be cutting my finger off to get it. I know. That's why we got our concealed carry permit, right, Miss Wendy? I'm not packing today, but I will be, so don't try to take my ring. Oh, but anyway, so 40 years ago this year, I asked Jesus Christ to save me. My life was changed. It was one of those life-changing events that Miss Robin's talking about. And then 40 years ago, in 1975, the Christian Womanhood magazine was born. So I think that's something that God had the Christian Womanhood magazine be born in May of 1975. And then 2 months later, in July the 5th, 1975, Loretta Walker got saved. And eventually, through these 40 years, I've worked with Christian Womanhood for all those years. And now, I'm actually the editor of it. Now, if you say, what is an editor? It's not much. I just am responsible for all the bills. As you hear me speak, you're not going to think, oh, she's an educated woman. It's not that I'm such a great person. It's I was willing to take on the bills of Christian Womanhood. So we have a magazine available for those of you that are interested in it. And I think our usherettes have some, or there's some stacked down here. If our usherettes would come here to me right now, that would help me, girls. All you girls that are helping me pass things out. Did they leave? They had to go do something else? Okay, I'll do it later. We'll do it later, at the end. I'll do it at the end. Is that what I should do? The teen girls. Okay, you teen girls. You're going to have you help. Just get a small stack. I did not bring enough magazines for this many people. So if you are only take one if you are very interested in subscribing to it. It's a monthly publication, and I only have like 80 magazines. So that because I'm in charge of the finances, I can't afford to print all those. So raise your hand if you're interested, or if you can share with somebody else. It's cost $25 a year if you have it come to your home address. If a church is here and you're a representative of a church and you'd like to take on being a distributor and you get 10 or more magazines, then it goes down to $15 a year per person. It comes out 12. There are 12 issues, but I only mail it out every 2 months because it saves money on postage. You can tell I'm all about money, can't you? But really, it's to help you have a savings to be able to afford to get it. If I charge what it was really worth and how much it cost to put it together, you'd say, forget it, Loretta, you're too expensive. And I'd say, I agree with you. So that magazine is there. And then I have a stack of envelopes, too, down here. Girls, if you come back up here and get the envelopes now. And this time, if you're not just casually interested, but you'd like an envelope, I'll be glad to have an envelope passed out to you. And you can get it digitally, which means it comes to your computer or your iPhone or your iPad or something like that. Now, raise your hand if you'd like an envelope to subscribe. Or if you're talking about being a distributor and getting 10 or more people so that you can get the savings, come see me back at the table and we have papers for that. If anybody does get 15 subscriptions, like somebody in your church you'd sign up 14 other people and you'd have 15, I have an anniversary. It's a ruby-like bracelet out there that you get free for getting 15 people to sign up for that magazine. And then also, if you get 25, I have a scripture bracelet. I designed this. Can you imagine that I designed something? And I got China to make it for me. I'm sorry, I'm not American-made, but I tried to get American-made. It was going to cost $50 just to make one, and I knew you wouldn't want to buy one for $50. So China made this bracelet. I've been working on it for 2 years, and finally I have it, and it has scripture verses in it that you can interchange every day so you can read scripture, because I believe scripture helps our attitude. So we're going to talk now about the seasons of life. How many of you like summer? That's your favorite season. Now, you can only pick one. You know there's four. Those of you that are indecisive, choose now. What are you going to choose? Summer, winter, fall, or spring? Okay. Who likes summer? Okay. The people that are raising their hands, they like summer. Okay. Who likes spring? New beginnings. You like spring? Yes, yes, yes. Who likes fall? Oh. I'm raising my hand on fall. I just love fall. I love how the trees turn colors, and I love to start putting on heavier clothes, and all good. And now, who likes winter? A few smattering people like winter. You all need to move north. We'll treat you how to like winter. Everything about the seasons, though, ladies, tells us that there are things in it that we don't like. You know, all of us could list. One of the things that I often do when my husband and I are going to, that we often do when we're going to make a decision about something, is we always try to list the pros and the cons, right? So, Miss Mary, I saw those boots. I saw you shaking her head. I got to show off mine, too. She wore them for me. Did you wear them for me, Miss Mary? See, because she wanted to be like me. Because I'm a real cowgirl from West Virginia. Yeah, I didn't know they had cowgirls in West Virginia either. I don't think West Virginia knows it either. When I'm there, they sort of all look at me like, who do you think you are? But anyway, thanks, Miss Mary, for wearing boots with me. In thinking about pros and cons, everything has good and bad. Well, I'm going to talk today about one of the bad things about me, one of the things that I have to fight in no matter what season it is. And I hope that you'll be able to relate to it in some way. The Lord will show you a way to overcome it. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for these ladies and the chance that I have to be here with them. And I pray, Lord, that you'll bless this time. Thank you for the challenging message we've already heard from Miss Robin. I pray you'll help us as we listen to the rest of it, that we'll learn something and grow. Thank you for the challenge of walking with you. Now, that's not going to work for this message, Lord. We're just going to have something new. So please, Holy Spirit, walk through our aisles. Help us to hear what you have for us during this time. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, what I'm going to talk to you about is what pushes your button. You know, things push your buttons. You know, I have something inside me that's called fear. You know, and I get afraid about things. And one of the things that I think is a problem with women is we can see what's coming. You know, you ever think your husband doesn't even see what's coming? You know, he's just living for today instead of looking to the future. You know, I asked my husband so many times, how come you never worry? He said, I don't need to. You worry enough for both of us. Well, there are certain things that pushes my button for fear. And I'm going to talk to you about those buttons. I'm going to talk to you about a couple of those things today. And I want you to realize that our deepest fear is the fear of losing connection and control. You know, we women, we have to be connected with people. You know, as I was sitting out there and y'all were coming up to the table and talking to me, and I was thinking, I like this. I like to meet people before I'm going to speak to them because, you know, I talk to her and I talk to her. And so I feel a little connection already. It would be very hard on me to walk it, you know, come here at the last minute, walk in. I've never met anybody here and try to talk to you because I have to feel like I'm connected with some people first. And that's how women are. We are big on relationships. So only people, I want you to understand something, only people we love and respect can push our buttons. They're the only ones that can make us fear. I had a lady, I was in a store one time, and I unknowingly, I drink coffee all the time. You know, I can't even tell you how many cups of coffee I've had this morning already, and you could tell. But anyway, and my husband, we travel as a family in evangelism, And so we stopped at this truck stop, and I said, Kevin, can I go into this McDonald's and get me a cup of coffee? And so he said, yes, you can. And so I went in, and years ago I learned that you can get senior coffees at McDonald's, and they're cheaper. I don't know how much, every state's different. How much in North Carolina? 50 cents? I got to go to McDonald's today. But anyway, 50, that's a good price. I like that price. One of my pet peeves is that when I go into a fast food place, you know, the menu doesn't change. Do you know what I mean by that? You know, it's always the same, and I already knew what I was going to get. So I walked into this McDonald's, and there was a lady standing there, and there's a new thing about these in these fast foods where people stand way back from the counter, you know, like they're waiting for something to happen before they step up to order, you know, and there's nobody there. And so, you know, since I already know what I want, I'm ready to just jump in there. You know, I'm not a hesitant person. Do you know what I'm saying? I just sort of zip in, you know. So I walked in, there's a lady standing there, and she was looking up at the menu, and I thought she was trying to decide what she wanted. Wouldn't you assume that? Somebody standing this far back from the countertop? And so I just walked in the McDonald's. I walked up to the counter. I said, I'll take a senior black coffee. And all of a sudden, behind me, Miss Ennis, I heard this lady go, well, I never. And I thought, you know, I heard the voice. So I knew I had done something wrong. Something told me that. I was smart enough to see that. So I turned around and I said, oh, were you ready to order something? And she said, yes. You know, like that, you know. Now, let me just tell you something. That lady, she didn't push my button. I didn't fear her at all. Matter of fact, I didn't care what she thought. In my mind, I thought, well, it's your problem for not standing up here and getting up here faster. You know, what do you expect somebody to do? They say, y'all do that. I think those kind of bad thoughts. I asked Mrs. Evans one time, I said, Mrs. Evans, will I ever get past thinking all these bad thoughts about stupid people? And Mrs. Evans, in her profane way, said, I don't think so, Loretta. You know, I don't know about you, but I just get aggravated with people. And when they, you know, now what I did was, because, you know, we had a big bus out there that said Roundup Ministries. And I was afraid she'd see me getting in it and think there's a Christian, and look the way she asked, you know. And so what I did was, I did right. It was maybe one of those days I got up and read my Bible, I don't know. But anyway, so when I turned to her and I said, you know, were you good? And she said, yes. I said, oh, well, and I always exaggerate my feelings, you know, to try to make them feel like I really care. Honest, this is how I really am. So I turned to her and I said, oh, ma'am, I'm so sorry. I didn't know that you were ready to order. I said, cancel that order right now and I'll get back behind here. I walked right behind her, and she stepped up there like, see, you know, like that, you know. But, you know, I didn't care. She didn't push my button. I didn't fear her. You know, she didn't make me have any of my normal fears come on because I didn't know her, number one, and number one, I didn't respect her. That's just the truth about it. But anyway, so only people we love and respect can push our buttons. And let me just say this. Only people we fear can push our buttons.
That was easy.
Did you know I have a daughter-in-law? How many of you are daughter-in-laws out there? You are a daughter-in-law. You're young. Well, of course you're a daughter. I'm a daughter-in-law too. Didn't you know that, girls? But anyway, how many of you have this young daughter-in-law and you fear that she could take away your son from you? Anybody like that? You relate to that? Let me just tell you, I fear my daughter-in-law. I got two of them now. And they travel with us all the time. There's nothing worse than having a daughter-in-law and she travels with you all the time. But do you understand what I'm saying? I fear what my daughter-in-law could do. You know, now I have a great relationship with my daughter-in-laws. You know, but I work on those relationships. You know, one of the things that I thought was going to be so easy, all of you older people, you should have told me this. I've been here many years. You should have took me aside many years ago and said, It's not easier when they're grown. You know, how many of you testify to that? You know that's true. It's not easier when they're grown. I thought, sure, whenever the kids got older and grown, that it would be, you know, and I'd have to worry about them, and I would. But you know what, Miss Barry? They're right there, right next to me, and I'm watching them make their mistakes, and I can't say a word. I'm surprised I have any tongue left, because I've tried to bite it off so much. But it's those people that we fear. That's who can push our buttons. Now, I want you to open your Bible to 2 Corinthians 10:5. 2 Corinthians 10:5. We're going to read that verse together. As you're opening your Bible, I'm going to tell you another story. Whenever my one daughter-in-law, I forgot to tell you the story that's connected with my daughter-in-law, whenever she first got into the family, Barbara, who's the one that's been married for three years to my son, when she first got in the family, we'd have family meetings. And when we have the family meetings, I don't know if you know this or not, but your family probably does weird things like us. We talk over each other. We interrupt each other and we talk over each other. And we didn't even know we did it till we got this stranger in the group with us. So we'd get into this, we'd all get into my motorhome, that's the gathering place for all of the family. And so we get into the motorhome, we'd start having a meeting, and I'd start talking about something. Well, then my son would jump in and start talking about something. Then my daughter-in-law would try to say something, and we'd just jump right in and start talking over her, you know, and not even realizing that she was talking. So she pulled my son and I aside, and she said, "Do you all know that you don't pay attention to me?" Now, when she said that, let me tell you, that pushed my button. I said, "Oh, better pay attention." You know, because I do care about her and her feelings. And just because I didn't realize I didn't pay attention to her doesn't mean I don't, well, maybe I do. No. Doesn't mean I do want to pay attention. I want her to feel like I pay attention to her. So, because I fear her, you know, and she brought on some of my fear, I paid attention. And so, does that mean we don't ever interrupt each other and talk over each other? No, because we're, you know, when we're together, we just sort of do. But she's grown used to it. When this new girl got, my son got married in March this year, and this new girl named Katie that's come into the family, and she's a sweetheart, and I love her, and she's kind of spastic, you know what I mean? Crazy, oh, like that. Well, she talks all the time, you know? And so when she got into the family and saw that we talked over each other, now Katie sits in our meetings and she puts her hands up like this, like, and my husband has to call on her to get her to talk. She learned fast. You know that, what I'm saying? But I do care about those girls, and I want them to know that I care. That lady in McDonald's, I didn't care about her. I'm never going to see her again. You know, I cared about her giving a good testimony, so that's why I, you know, acted like I cared. But I didn't. You say, what a fake. You know what? I think we, in our Christian life, we better learn how to fake it some. You know? So just at least, you know, if you really knew the real me, you wouldn't even be here listening to me. Isn't that the truth? The real me that lives the daily life, you know, and that my husband says, are you going to go speak to ladies anytime soon? He says that to me. That's supposed to make me know that I'm being bad right then. Yes, I'm going to go speak to ladies soon. But anyway, fear is a natural part of our life, no matter what season you're in. You girls, you young girls, you're in the spring of your life, and life is, you know, just starting to open up to you. But you have fears. I'm going to talk about just two of my fears, just two of them. But look at 2 Corinthians 10:5 first. On the count of three, let's all read it out loud together. 2 Corinthians 10:5. One, two, three. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That packs a powerful punch. That means that the whole way to overcome fear is to control your thoughts. And I really believe that's true. My mind can go crazy with fear. We were in a horrible accident in 2004. you know, I shouldn't be alive today. That is the truth, except for the fact that God still had people for us to see saved, and he had a work for us still to do. My whole family shouldn't be alive. It was such a bad accident. So every time, can I tell you this? Every time I get in the motorhome and there's a drizzle of rain, I have to bring into captivity every thought to the knowledge of God. You know, because I could live in fear all the time that we're going to have another wreck. You know, every time that we're, and we swerve just a little bit, I do not lay down in our coach anymore. Since 2004, I don't lay down anymore while we're driving. I can't, because if my husband just veers a little bit, you know those rough places on the side of the road that make, Missouri has them right on the white lines. You know, and this big rig, I always get over on the, you know, it's just always like that. But anytime I'm in there, and if I try to lay down and we veer a little bit, it startles me awake, so I don't even try to sleep while we're driving anymore. But I have to bring into captivity every thought. So I'm going to talk to you today about how to overcome fear. Now, the very first fear that I would like to talk to you about, I wrote them on a baseball because then I can catch it. You know, I've got it into captivity. Bring into every captivity, every thought. So I wrote it on a baseball so I could hold it up for you to try to visualize and realize whatever it is that is the base of your fear. You have to bring it into captivity in every thought and try to overcome it by doing that. And the first fear that I'd like to talk to you about, there are many of them, but the first fear that I have is that somebody will devalue me. They'll put me down. They'll make me feel not important. When you fear of being devalued, you feel inferior. You know, you feel like I'm around somebody, and sometimes, you know, I'm a country girl. You know, I might dressed up and look pretty good today, but, you know, and basically I'm just a down-home type person, you know. I don't have my fingernails done. I don't pay to do them. I don't do them. If I could pay to do them, I wouldn't waste my money on it. That's just how I feel. You know what I mean? I'm not that girly, I guess is what I'm saying. And that's okay. Some of you like me in spite of the fact I got no fingernails, right? Right? Good. You know, so when I'm around some people that are pretty fancy people, you know who you are out there. Every hair's in place. You got this name brand clothes on. You know, when I say name brand clothes, I don't even know what brands I'm talking about, but I know there are brands. You know, so when I come up to them, years ago especially, somebody like Mrs. Ennis, who she just always looks together. Do y'all agree with that? Don't you? She's a very warm person, so she's not stuffy like, you know, this kind of person would be. But I could be very intimidated by Miss Ennis. Years ago, I would have walked up to her and, not sure if I could say the right things, you know, and know what to say, you know, but, you know, now I just don't, you know, remember, go back to, I don't care. But anyway, but I could feel inferior around certain types of people, and they make me feel devalued. But I don't think God wants us to be that way. God, the word meek means to look at everybody on the same level. You know, that's really what meek looks. You're not better than I, and I'm not better than you. You know, just because God's given me the job today to get up here and speak in front of you doesn't mean I'm better than you. Quite on the contrary. I know how bad I really am. I know my flesh and how much I fight my fears. I know how much I fight all these things that I can't take care of. When you have being devalued, you feel very inadequate. You just feel like, oh, I can't do that. I can't be that. I can't. I know pastors' wives. You're sitting out there and you say, my ladies need me, but I don't know how to fill their needs. You feel inadequate. You feel like a failure. You know, you feel like, oh, I mess up all the time. I say the wrong things. You know, I get in trouble with this person. I get in trouble with that person. You know, if you're like me, I just talk all the time. Those of us that talk a lot, we get in trouble a lot. You know, I try to be friendly, and sometimes in trying to be friendly, I say the wrong things. You know, like I went up to a lady, and just in the last couple of months, I wish I could say this was years ago. You ever tell a story and you say, this happened to me years ago? Nothing ever happens to me years ago. It's always just a couple months ago. I walked up to a lady that I hadn't been to her church for a while, And I said to her the wrong thing. You know what the wrong thing was? Oh, when are you due? You'd think I'd learn. Wouldn't you think I'd learn? And she said, I had a baby a year ago. And I said, oh, well, I'm sure he's a beautiful baby. You know, I just try to think, what can I say to get myself out of this situation, you know? So you fail. You know, we do fail. But it can make you feel devalued. You feel unloved. You feel invalidated. You feel like you're alone. There are people sitting in this room right now. Miss Wendy, it's hard to believe this. There are people that are amongst a group of people. You came with a group of ladies and you feel like you're all alone. You know, there's teenagers that they come to the youth group, but they don't feel a part. You know, you struggle because you feel devalued. Now, let me say this to you. If you do struggle and feel devalued, there's only one solution to that, and that is Isaiah 43:4. Isaiah 43:4. Just write it down for to look up later on. See, I feel valued because the Bible says, since thou wast precious in my sight. God said that. He wrote that to you. Since thou wast precious in thy sight. Because you were precious to me, I sent people for you, is what he said. So the whole answer to when you start feeling devalued and somebody pushes your button and makes you start feeling you're not important, you're inadequate, all those feelings, the whole key thing for you to do is use scripture to overcome it. And that's my favorite verse. When I start feeling insecure and I start feeling inadequate and a failure and all those feelings that I just went over, I get this verse out. You know, my daughter-in-law, the one that I've had the longest, she's got this baby, a 3-year-old. Do you know who the authority in that my daughter-in-law's life is? The internet. She's the Google queen. You know what I'm saying by that? Here, do you understand that I think I've raised 3 kids and I know something about babies and all that stuff, but she doesn't ask me the questions. You know what? And if she did ask me and then she didn't do what I said, you know what? My feelings would get hurt. Do you do that to people? So, you know, anytime she comes to me, just a couple weeks ago, he started having something going on with him, pink eye. He started having pink eye. And I said, did you Google it? You know, I just joined right in with her. You know, I didn't offer any advice about what to do about pink eye. I didn't tell her how contagious I thought it was. I didn't say any of that for 24 hours. I can hold back for 24 hours. No, but do you understand what I'm saying? Because of our fears and feeling like people don't think we're smart, we feel devalued and we do things that hurt our relationships. You know, so I just joined right in with her. So I just, you know, she's heard me talk about this before. So she knows. I think it's great because honest and truly, if she did ask my advice, you remember when they were little tiny babies and everybody thought they had to cover, you had to cover them from head to toe before you take them outside. How many of you grew up in that era? They don't believe that now. No, sprawled all out, you know. Get something on that kid's head. You know, my mom says it to her, but I didn't get to. But anyway, you don't understand? It's just you can't win. She couldn't win. If she asked my advice and then didn't do it, I would be so upset with her. I'd still feel devalued. So I cannot feel valued by her asking my advice. You know how I feel valued? Since thou wast precious in my sight. I realize that I have a God who thinks I'm pretty good. Amen. He loves me. He takes good care. You know, I got to get my value from God. That's the whole answer on this fear that your buttons get pushed and you feel like you're not important. You feel like you're all alone. I'm never alone. You know, I'm going through a pretty heavy trial right now. I'm not going to talk about it, but I'm going through a pretty heavy trial now. I'm not alone in that trial. Because I've got God with me, and I spent some time with him talking about it last night and again this morning. And you're never alone. When you feel valued by God, you don't have to feel devalued. Second way that my fear that comes on me in certain stages of life, certain seasons of life, is lack of control. I grew up in a very troubled home. Those of you that have read my book, Invisible Hurts, you've heard some of the things that has gone on in my life. And I want to be in control. You know, I like to know what all's going to happen and when it's going to happen. And I like to plan everything way in advance so that I know when. I like to be in control. And those of us that like to be in control, we end up, you know what we end up doing? We blame other people when things mess up. We exaggerate a lot. Have you ever said to your husband, "You never do such and such"? We use superlatives. You always, or you never, you know, exaggerate, throw tantrums. Now, this is hard for me to believe, but I have recently been around, not recently, it was a few months back. We went out to eat as a family with somebody, and it was at Golden Corral. You know, that's a buffet, so you pay when you walk in. You know that, right? Well, listen, if I pay money, I'm going to eat. How about you? I don't go to Golden Corral very much because I don't feel like I ever get my money's worth. But if I'm going, I'm going to make sure I get my money's worth. So, you know, we go in there and we sit down at this big table. My whole family and a lot of other people were there. And we sat down. And as we were sitting down, they decided that the women were going to sit on one end of the table and the men were going to sit on another end of the table. So this young girl and her husband were over here. And I said, "Come on, move down over here next to me." And so she moved over, but I could tell there was something going on. You know, she grudgingly moved over. So when she moved over, I was talking, and all of a sudden she got up from the table and she left. She never came back to the table. And I smelled under my underarms. I really did. I thought, you know, and then I started worrying it was something I said, you know. And so not through the entire meal did she come back to the table. Later on, she had a relative there, and I talked to the relatives. I said, "Did I do something?" You know, I didn't know the girl, so I said, "Did I do something?" And she said, "No." She said, "She's mad at her husband." I said, "I have never been so mad at Kevin, I wouldn't eat." How many of you can testify that's true for you? Especially if you pay $11.95 to come there and eat. I honestly open my mouth like that. You know, I'm finding more and more there are Christian ladies that throw tantrums. Because you want control. Now, can I tell you, I don't really like that S word. You know the S word? Submission. I don't really like the word, but I know that's how I can have harmony in my home. You know, my husband's good, and whenever we're doing something, he was talking about how to fix one of our breakdowns. We have breakdowns on a weekly basis. But he was talking, and I said, "Well, what do you think about doing such and such?" And he'll let me give him a suggestion. And there are times when he'll say, "You know what? I've had about enough suggestions." And I say, "Well, thanks for letting me know." But anyway. So he will let me give a suggestion, but he don't take the suggestion. I don't get mad at him because I want to be submissive. Amen. This girl hasn't learned that, though. And she evidently hadn't learned how to communicate to her husband well enough or to know how to control her thinking well enough to stay and act civil when you're with a group of people. Can I say this? Some of you have emotions that are out of control. Amen. You want control of everything all around you, but you don't even control yourself. That's sad. You know, I just feel it, so I gotta say it. The greatest compliment my Katie, the new girl that's in our family, the greatest compliment she ever gave me was this. My son came to me, Joe, and a couple weeks back, he said, "Mom, Katie said to me, she said, Joe, you just don't understand. I didn't grow up controlling how I feel." She said that. She said, "But you all just know you're supposed to control how you feel." She said, "I just don't know how to control how I feel." Now, she doesn't know what a compliment that was to our family. Because when we were, we had to learn how to control our own emotions. And so she's still learning it. And I think that's great that she wants to learn it, you know, and that he's teaching her. I don't teach her. He's teaching her, and they're working through all those things. But when he told me that, I thought, isn't that a great compliment? Do you know why I control my emotions? Because I was under the influence of Marlene Evans. She was always a person that controlled her feelings. You know, you can't trust your feelings. You can't believe what you think Because your thinking is controlled by your heart. And what does the Bible say about the heart? It's desperately wicked. So all of that to say this, when you want control, somebody can push your button when you don't have the control. But should you let them push your button? No. You bring into captivity that thought. The verse that I use for that is Psalms 25:5. Lead me in thy truth. Lead me in thy truth. See, I don't want to be in control. I want to let God be in control of my life. And I really believe that you want too. You want this also. It's just that you've had all these years of thinking that you were supposed to be in control. It's because you've had, somebody didn't spank you enough. Do you know my daughter, my oldest, Barb, the daughter-in-law, the first daughter-in-law, do you know what she told me? She said, Mom, she calls me Mom, she said, Mom, she said, when I was growing up, she said, I never did anything I didn't want to do. That's a bad testimony. And some of you women, that's what your life has been like. You had a parent that spoiled you rotten, let you have your way. Right, Mary? She's sitting next to you, right? She's shaking her head like this, you know, and her daughter's sitting right next to her. You know, and you've had your way so much that you still think you're supposed to have control. You know what's so sad to me? We marry this big, strong man. You know, I like Kevin because he's a cowboy and he's strong and he puts me in my place. He don't always do it nice, but he puts me in my place. I like that. And I brag on him about it, and then he does it more. But some of you, your husband tries to put you in place, and you get mad at him or throw a fit. And then you know what happens? Then he backs down. You married a strong man, but you haven't kept one. Because men want to have peace in the home. My husband don't mind looking at me and say, thus saith the Lord. He thinks he's the Lord. You know, if God would do anything during this talk, but help some of you to realize you don't deserve control of your life. And when he starts taking control and doing things you don't agree with, my husband has bought cars that we didn't need, that were junkers, and then we had to sell them back for less than what we... I could tell you stories. All of us have those stories, don't we? But you know what? It was good for him to do those things. You people that have been married for less than a few years, let them make their mistakes. Let them be a man. And if you've got a strong mother-in-law that sort of tries to be in charge all the time, even more so, you sit back and shut. That's what Ms. Evans told me my first 5 years of marriage. She said, Loretta, I'm going to say something real profound to you. And I said, okay, what is it? I was ready. My ears were open. She said, shut up. And so I did. For the first 5 years, I really believe for the first... Now, after 5 years, Mrs. Evans called me back in. She said, Loretta, I think I need to teach you how to communicate a little bit more, not just shut up, you know, because she was seeing some things that were going on in our lives. And she said, it's okay for you to talk to him about such and such, and especially if you're crying. She thought it was great to cry and talk, you know. But anyway, that's a whole nother lesson. But I'm saying to you this, if your fear is based on because you want control, can I tell you, you don't need control. Lead me in thy path. You need to let God have control of your life. And if he's got control, then you won't make these mistakes. I don't know what else to say but to say this. Ladies, we don't really want control of our life. I'm going to give you four quick questions to ask yourself. When you feel this fear coming on of being devalued or controlled, this is the last of it. I'm going to give you these four questions. These are things that I ask myself on a daily basis. Number one, what is the core reason why this bothers me? Why did this push my button? Number two, have I ever done this type of thing to someone else? You know, Jesus said, you know, he that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. You know, so the things that are bothering us usually are things that we do to other people. And when I realize that I do those things to other people, it helps me to be more careful. Number three, how would God want me to react to this situation? Now, I don't like that one, because when you put your actions to the Word of God, you're going to change a lot of actions. Then the fourth and final one, the more, this is not a question, it's just something for you to realize, the more you're in the Word, the more you're able to control your thoughts. Grab hold of those, bring them into captivity, and control what you're thinking. Control your actions through what you're thinking. Father, thank you so much for these ladies. I thank you for this chance that I've had to share my fears with them. I don't know the ladies out here as well as you do, Holy Spirit. So I don't know that their problem and their fears are based on being devalued or having control. But you know what their core fears are and what buttons get pushed that makes them have those fears come alive. But would you please, Holy Spirit, speak to the hearts and help them to see how they need to change and help them to take down these questions and start asking themselves these questions and bring into captivity these thoughts so they could be more what you want them to be. Now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, who'd say to me, Loretta, God has spoken to my heart, and I really do believe I have a lot of fears that are controlling my life, and I've got to get them under control myself. Anybody like that? Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to the hearts. I pray you'll help them to know how to do it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.